Welcome back to Holland Road Baptist Church Encounter Podcast, the podcast where we ask Hafa, what is the strangest food you have ever eaten?
Do I only have to pick one?
yeah, go start with one for now.
Dog meat.
Dog meat, okay.
Yeah, we were in South Korea and then they took us to this place and they were talking all about how good the food is there. And then they said, "Oh, we have this dog meat kind of a soup."
Okay.
I don't know, a soup with a stew or something. And then, we said, "I mean, it smells a bit weird." But then we just ate and stuff. And then they said, "Oh, it's like dog meat." And then I looked to my friend; he was from Mexico, and we were good, very good.
Was it good?
It's different. It's not too bad. It smells very. There's a strong smell. But it's, it's not good. It's just different. It's very, a strong taste, but it's good.
Yeah. Well, what would you think is then the food that you like the least? And that could even just be like, oh, broccoli.
kidneys?
Kidneys.
Mm.
Oh, I hate it. I almost throw up when I eat this thing.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right.
I always find that really interesting, but sorry to anyone if you were eating whilst listening to the podcast. But
let's roll the intro music.
Hi everyone, I'm Sophie. I am one of the hosts of this podcast. I am 20 years old and a student at the University of Winchester. Yeah, and I am enjoying being a part of this.
Great, and I'm Josh. I'm 19 years old. I volunteer part-time at Holland Road doing the podcast and a few other things. And I'm also teaching guitar part-time. And I carry on with that, even in lockdown, doing it online. But yeah, so today we're talking to Hafa. We're recording this actually in World Week, and it's a week where we think about and we pray for and we give to the focuses, which are poorest of the poor, where there is no church, the persecuted church, and existing partners. So I met Hafa when my parents were working in OM in Brazil, and he was one of the students. He's a really great guy. So Hafa, could you just introduce yourself for us?
Sure. I'm Rafael. You see us. How people call me Hafa, so you can also call me Hafa whenever you meet me all over the world. I'm from Brazil, that's why I have this funny accent. But if I say anything wrong, Josh's mom was my teacher, so it's her fault. I've been with OM, Operation Mobilization, this missionary organization, for 9 years now. So I've worked for 2 years on board a ship, a missionary ship called Logos Hope. Then I worked a couple of years back in Brazil with OM there. And I will work with OM South Africa in a city called Port Elizabeth. And I also work in a church as an assistant pastor.
Nice.
Here in South Africa.
Oh, that's great, Hafa. Thank you. So could you just tell us like a little bit more about where you're from? Maybe some stories about that.
Yeah, so as I said, I'm from Brazil. I'm from this place called São Paulo. It's actually a small, well, it's not small for Europe, but it's in Brazil. It's a small town called Mauá, of 500,000 people. So that's small for us there. In Brazil, I studied IT engineering. That's what I did for a while. I also worked a bit as a musician. Well, Brazil is a great place. The best food you can eat, and you're the best in soccer.
There you go. Although we do call it football in England, so I don't know where you got that. That wasn't my mum, I'm sure, who taught you that.
I'm sure not. I don't know. In South Africa, they call soccer, which is stupid because they were colonized by Britain,
by British.
I don't know why they call soccer. Yeah.
When did you hear? So you're working in IT and you're working as a musician. So when did you hear your call to mission, or how did you become a missionary? How did that all happen for you?
Yeah, so when I was working with IT, I was working in a company, a big company in São Paulo, back in Brazil. And I remember that I was at, on a Saturday evening, we had this young adult service kind of stuff. And afterwards, we went to eat somewhere, and then at 11 p.m., I got a call from someone from the company, and they said, "Well, the internet is all down here. You need to come quickly and solve the problem. Mm-hmm. So I left everybody behind, went, and then, and I was really, really upset that I had to leave everything and just go to work, you know. And then I went, and I think at 4 a.m, somewhere there, I solved everything. And then I was just thinking, is that going to be my life forever? You know, I'm going to, well, get my money, do things I want, but there is not a profound meaning, you know, in what I, in what I'm doing. And every time I would go to a mission, you know, some missions conference or short-term missions trip, I would cry like a baby and just feel in my heart, you know, I need to do something. And I would go to church and raise my hands and say, Jesus, I love you. And I really felt God saying, well, you say you love me, but what about the people who are dying without me? You're not doing much about it, you know. Mm. You are putting a lot of things from your life in front of you, and you're forgetting and leaving the things behind, my things behind. So in that day, when I finished everything there in the company, in my office, I started to look for some opportunities with missions. And I said, that's it. I'm going to leave. I'm going to take maybe 1 or 2 years and I'm going to give to God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then I started looking for something actually with music that I could find. And I never really found anything. Eventually, my uncle, when I was maybe 8 or 9, he actually was in a discipleship program of 1 year with George Weller in London.
Oh, wow.
George Weller is the founder of OM. Mm-hmm. So I remember that he went and that back then, you know, to leave Brazil was such an amazing thing. You know, it was very, you couldn't really achieve that easily, you know, in Brazil wasn't very, very easy to leave on that time and stuff. And then, so for me it was always in my mind that I always wanted to leave and do something else and know the world. So my uncle used to talk to me a lot. And when I was a kid, he told me about this missionaryship. But I just had an idea. To be honest, I didn't even know if it was a real thing, you know, or maybe it was just a kid's thing, you know, that I heard. And then I started to look on Google, and there wasn't much in Portuguese back then about the Logos Hope. So I started to use Google Translator because I couldn't speak a word of English. So I used Google Translator to see what they were talking about the ship. And then I made contact with OM, and that's how I started. So I told my pastor and my mom, and went through the whole process of raising support and all that. I finished my degree before I went. But that's how it all started.
Amazing.
Wow, that's so cool. I love hearing stories of people choosing to follow God's calling, because it's always so different but so encouraging. That's amazing. Could you give us an example of how you've seen God move through being on mission?
Sure. I remember that when we were in Sri Lanka, we were on the ship, and then they told us that we had to go to this small village. I think we drove maybe 2 or 3 hours away from where the ship was. Mm. And then they told us that they wanted to do those eyeglass tests, you know? So you get, they have this kind of a small eyeglasses thing that you have the lenses. So you do combinations with these lenses, and then you see, you know, if their sight get better or not, you know, if they can see it better. And then we give out eyeglasses to them. So when we got there, we got to this church, and there was no electricity, and all the windows were broken and mm-hmm. very weird. And then I asked the pastor, because he was kind of giving us a tour, and I asked him, why all the windows are broken? You guys have no electricity. And he said, well, the monks, they went around the villages, and they kind of got like signature from the people who lived there to say that we were doing bad things to the community. And then they get to like stones and would throw into the church and broke the windows, and they went to the government, and the government cut our electricity out, and they didn't allow us anymore to celebrate services here. And then I said, well, and you still want to do all that to the people, because they all signed against you. And so, well, that's how we can show our love, you know. And for me, it was a great lesson of forgiveness. But it doesn't stop there. So then we start doing all the kind of the exams there with the eyeglass tests. And then at some point people start coming and coming, and we saw, well, we don't have enough light, actually daylight, to do it, because inside of the church there was no electricity. So we were doing outside of the church just tests, and at some point it was getting dark, and we were using the lights of our cell phones. So one would hold the cell phone with the light, and the other person would do the test. And you don't really get the best result in those situations, you know. So I told him, well, first, we don't have enough eyeglasses anymore. And we don't have enough daylight. And then he said, well, I can't go and tell people to go away because I'm already not very welcome here, you know, into this village. So I got a translator and I went there and I told the guys, you know, full of people outside, and I said, whoever wants to come in, you come in now, and then we're going to close the door and then nobody can come in anymore. And then people came in and we still had, I don't know, maybe 50 people inside left to do the test and to give away. And then I looked up at the boxes that we had full of eyeglasses, and I'm sure we didn't have 50. And it's not only having 50, but the right one for each person.
Wow.
So I just got one girl from my team and I said, let's just pray. You know, I'm a Baptist, and we're very rational, you know. So my prayer was, God, give us wisdom so we know how to tell them that we don't have glasses anymore. So we prayed, and we went back to do the test. So we did all the tests, and I forgot about it. And then the last lady came, and then we did the test, and then we had, like, the measurement there. And then when I looked, it was exactly the last eyeglass that we had in the box, with the right measurements and everything. And then when I looked at the last one, I really felt, oh, God really did a miracle here. Mm. And for me, really, it really impacted my life and how God really responds, even though we are, you know, we don't really believe sometimes and we don't even ask, but he still does his miracles.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I was just wondering how here in England we can get involved in mission, and at Holland Road, how we can be involved in mission when we're, you know, not abroad, or, you know, how can we still be involved in that?
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, you know, the Bible's in Matthew 28, Jesus gave us this great commission, you know, this commandment that we all should go and preach the gospel, and all should go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. So I think the first question that we should ask ourselves is, how can I make disciples? So also, you know, a lot of times we say, you know, we need to live a life that is going to impact people. And that's true. You know, sometimes we get stuck into that and we don't do anything that is intentional to make disciples. And we say, well, I'm living my life in a way that pleases God. So that might impact someone, you know, but that's not what God told us. Mm-hmm. We should go intentionally and make disciples. We should talk about it. You know, there's this, this phrase that people say, you know, you can preach the gospel, and if needed, you use words. It's a great phrase, but it's not really true, you know, because you should live in a way that you live your life and people see God in that. But God didn't allow us not to preach, not to say it, you know. So, of course, you don't want to be that annoying friend that tells every time that your friend is going to hell. That's not what the Bible means either. But you want to, you know, whenever you have a chance and you're going to look for these chances, that you can just say a little thing, you know, a little example of things that, you know, maybe you don't believe it, but I really think, you know, that when you go to, maybe you go for a hiking and you say, you know, God really did something here. And if he doesn't believe, you know, and day after day, he's going to see something different, and you try every day. Another thing, I think in Brazil, we don't have that in our culture, but you guys have this gap year thing. I think this is amazing. I always make fun that actually should be in the Bible, that every Christian should take a gap year and go for a mission, you know, a mission year somewhere. If you have the opportunity, you know, if you can do it, I think it's one of the best things you can do, you know, get, could be 3 months, could be 1 month, even if you're already studying or already working, but you can get some holidays, a few weeks, but you can go to the ship. You can go to, you know, visit people, missionaries that are doing different works all over the world. And this thing is going to impact your life. I'm telling you that it's going to be best than any vacation that you can have. Mm. Because you still see the world and meet people and all that. But you see really God doing something different. And it strengthens your faith. And when you get back to your church, you can also be a blessing there, you know, and telling people about it. And just organizing these trips are amazing. We got here with South Africa, with the church here. We have a little country, a little kingdom called Lesotho in the middle of South Africa. So we got a few guys, got five guys from the church, and we drove for 11 hours and went there with the OM team. And we stayed for 1 week with them, just helping them, whatever they needed. We went to help a family to their harvest. So they were planting mealies and corns and stuff. And then we just helped them with the harvest. And, you know, these are people that have nothing. And we were there, we came and helped them. And then we did children's program and we played some football with them. And it was great, you know. But when we came back, just seeing the testimonies of these guys who were just like any other people, you know, some people were working, some people were studying. They just took 1 week of their holidays and they went, and it changed their lives. So that's, I think that's my challenge for you, that you be intentional in what you do with your friends, with people that God puts in your life, and that you put yourself in this place as well, that you can make a missionary trip, a short-term trip, of 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months, or a year, if you can take a gap year. I started with that, you know. I started with small mission trips. And then I said, no, I'm going to give 3 years of my life. That's how I started. I did the training, and I said, well, I'm going to go to the ship. And I went, you know, and I've been, after 9 years, I'm here talking to you guys, you know, because it's really changed my life. And sometimes really seems impossible. You know, for me, you guys, everybody who is listening, I'm sure that you guys can speak English. But for me, was like, how come I will ever speak this language? You know, I can't really do it. I need to do something in Brazil because it's just too much for me. But God really, you know, when you put yourself in this place, you know, just when you are willing to serve, God really take you to places that you can never imagine, and gives you abilities that you can never imagine.
I think, I just think mission is such an amazing thing. And that God uses us like that. I also think it's interesting how you're talking about the short-term mission and how it touches our lives as well. So I think it's really interesting how there's almost like three groups of people that you can be touching. So you can, obviously you help the people that you're going to help. So the people who live wherever you're going, but then you also help the people who are already doing mission there. And that can be really, really inspiring for them. And then in the end, you actually also kind of, you learn from it yourself. And I think that's been my experience. And it sounds like it's also been your experience, that at different times you kind of help different people. So even thinking back to Sri Lanka, you helped the pastors of the church, but then you also helped the people there, but it also helps you grow in your faith. And I think it's really amazing, because sometimes we forget how many people we end up touching through that.
Exactly. And just a little thing. So there's this guy from OM. He's actually from Ireland. His name is Andrew Scott. And he's been working with OM for a long time. And he wrote this book called Scatter, Go Therefore and Take Your Job With You. It's a very good book that talks about how you, with your job and your career and the things that you love, you can actually be a missionary. And for years, our model of doing missions has been of raising support, and this thing is scary. It scares a lot of people, you know. And a lot of people have been saying, well, I actually only know how to do my job, and I really don't know how to preach. I don't know what to do. And there's also this problem, you know, with raising support, and I can't do it, and I really want to keep working. And the idea is that you actually get your job and you go to a country where there's not many Christians. So, for example, you are maybe an engineer or a nurse or whatever you are. And we want to find you a job. You know, maybe it's in Saudi Arabia, and you can go there and you can get your work, and you're going to get your salary, and you're going to do just a normal job, but you're going to live in a way that people will see that there's something different in you, and you get contacts, you know, you have your network with those people, and you make friendships, and you'll be a blessing in those countries that have no Christians, you know. So that's a way as well of being missionaries and reaching the unreached. And still, you know, you still do your job and your passion, but you are a blessing.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Hafa. That's really helpful. Before we end, if you're listening and you want to get involved with mission at Holland Road Baptist Church, our next trip is to France, hopefully sometime this year, as soon as possible, depending with everything going on. There'll also be more Ethiopia trips sometime down the pipeline. I'll add more details in the description of what we're doing here, but also other links to other organizations that you can get involved with, like OM and others.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast, unfortunately. This has been the HRBC Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Hafa, for coming and chatting to us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure, and God bless you all.
Great, thanks so much. You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that. Hafa, is any way that we could maybe pray for you? And then Sophie, if you could just close us off with a prayer.
Yeah, you can pray that God will still do his work, you know, through me and through all of us in these tough times, you know, where we are all in lockdown. I pray that God will still use us and keep our minds and focus on him.
Yeah, I can pray. Father, I just thank you for Hafa and for his obedience to your call on his life. I thank you for his faithfulness to you. I just pray that through lockdown, this won't stop mission. This won't deter anyone from going on mission when this is over. And I just pray that your work will still be done through your missionaries all over the world. I just pray that they will still be able to preach your gospel and live lives how Jesus would live. I also just pray for our existing partnerships around the world, that they will also not feel cut off from Holland Road because of the lockdown or the coronavirus. And I pray for the places where there is no church. I pray that you will send people to grow the church there, and that the people that you call will be obedient to that call. And I pray for the persecuted church as well, that you will stop the persecution, that you will give your people strength and confidence to keep preaching through it. And I pray that you'll protect them. And I just pray for the poorest of the poor around the world. I just pray that you will provide what they need, and also allow people close to them to be generous. Allow the churches around the world to be generous to them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.